So you're talking this morning, like earlier, about the off the hook being laid up for the righteous, which it is, which I say, the wicked, lay it out there. There's another scripture in Proverbs that says that that God, that he may cause those who love me to inherit wealth and true riches, that I may fill their treasures.
Amen.
Yeah. I was sitting here worshiping, and I kept seeing this piece of paper, and it had mutual written on it. So all I could see was mutual. And I thought, mutual what? And it became more and more clear, and these what is happening is these angels are taking these pieces of paper and putting them in a box. And what they are checks.
Oh, amen.
And they are checks that are written on the mutual bank of heaven. I never heard that term before.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Glory to God.
And all of these checks are being written up and getting ready for distribution.
Amen.
And it is coming. It's happening.
Amen.
And it's a huge part of prophecy that has to come true is the wealth of the wicked has to be turned over to the Lord. It's not a matter of kind of sort of maybe. It has to be done. The other issue is I am at a place where the only person that can help me is God.
Amen.
I can't look to anything else. It's only him. He's the only one. This mess has gotten on many levels in many different ways. It's gotten huge. It's not only it's a financial mess, and it's just old debt that I acquired when I was sick. And he's the only one that can help us.
Amen.
And we have to have that attitude about this.
Yes.
If he says it, it's ours.
Amen.
It's us keeping in that place where we're ready to receive and believing that we're going to receive. And the third thing is, I don't know if you've been following it or not, but Dutch Sheets started a part of his webpage for every state. And you can sign up by whatever state you live in. And it's commanding the forward, which goes back to John Hunt's prayer, John Hunt, first
line. Yes, we understand that. We do.
There are thousands, Amen. If not hundreds of thousands of people all over the world decreeing that declaration.
Forward.
And
forward.
Michigan, the last time I checked, I think there was only four or five counties that have not been gone around and anointed with oil.
Hallelujah.
One of which was Benzie.
Really?
And I don't know that I can check here and find out, but there are so many people that God is raising up. That I mean, people are going to places and just blowing the shofar.
Amen.
And anointing the water. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things.
Yes.
It's very encouraging to go in there and look at what people are doing.
Yeah. Amen. And I agree.
How many of them there are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Mutual.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
You have to write that down in a prayer journal.
Yeah, that's powerful. Thank you, Pastor Jenny. And we cannot doubt.
No doubt.
Remnant cannot
doubt. No doubt, no fear. Fear is going to be the biggest thing we're going to have to overcome because of what's happening with our government, what's happening with the economy, and generally what's happening with all the garbage that's going on.
Yep.
This stuff is, this new movie that's come out dealing with this is Hollywood is doing everything they can to shut that thing down.
I know, isn't that amazing? Yep.
I mean, it's just blatant. I mean, it's so interesting where the brain can figure out.
Yeah.
There's got to be a problem here somewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
It's time to go grab those souls for help. For the kingdom of heaven.
angel of the breakthrough.
If you have your Bibles today, we're going to do Psalms 10. It's called the Song of Confidence in God's Triumph Over Evil.
Amen.
Amen. How was that?
Great.
I think that's a good thing to stand for.
Was the light on that one?
Does that
make a difference?
It does make a
difference. Yeah.
Praise God. So, Father, before I do this word, I ask that you would just be with us, help us to get our thoughts and our eyes and our hearts on you, Lord. Help us to dwell with you, Lord, for us to be able to know who you are and to hear your voice. And for us not to look to the left or to the right, but to stay on that path that you have ordained us to do for our destinies. And we give you all honor and glory and praise for it, in Jesus' name. Why do you stand so far off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked, in his pride, persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. I like to interrupt here. I have a new word. I went to warfare this last couple months, and my new word is boomerang it back to the devil.
Yeah, they're talking about boomerangs.
So we're going to boomerang all that he's trying to throw at us right back at the devil. That means if anything comes up that you feel is not right in your emotions or in your body, or in your mind, like a thought comes to you that you know that isn't the Lord, you take authority over it right then and there. And you boomerang it back to the devil. That's what I've been doing. And it's been working. Verse 3. For the wicked boasts in his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and then renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none in his thoughts. His ways are prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I shall never be an adversary. His adversary.
Adversity.
His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He says in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe the trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil men. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will prepare their heart, and you will cause your ear to hear. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Karen.
And it's so heavy, I remember.
Hallelujah. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for your word, we thank you for your presence today. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to fill this room, touch each person as you want to touch them, Lord God. Father, I ask for your anointing to fall upon these lips, Lord. What I'm to mention, I will. What I'm not to mention, I won't. So, Father, I just ask right now for your guidance, and I thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I started, you know, we had a lot of technical difficulty trying to get the picture up there. Excuse me. And the picture said, the anointing makes a difference. The anointing makes a difference. Well, last year we had a group of women that were here, and it was really powerful. We talked about the bride, and the Lord gave me these different anointings that were coming forth. Well, to be honest with you, that was what I said to the women, to the people that were here, but I forgot about them. And so I think it was about 2 weeks ago, the Lord allowed me to talk about the river. He also allowed me the following Sunday to talk about the difference between an eagle and a hawk, and that we were part of the eagle army. Well, to my amazement, even with what Denny talked about, Pastor Denny, that we turned on, and we listened to Tim and Dutch Sheets, both of them. And it really encouraged us that he wanted us to move forward. And hopefully with what I have here, it will all tie in. So as we're traveling downstate, the Holy Spirit talked about these four rivers. And I said, well, Lord, you know, I already talked about the rivers. And it wasn't the same old about ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep. No. It was talking about how we were to flow with the Holy Spirit in the areas that he wants us to go into. And it was powerful. It truly was a powerful message from the Lord. And so anyways, I get out a piece of paper right here with my felt marker that I found on the floor of the car. And I wrote this down because I felt it was so important to give to you. And I don't even know what I wrote it on, to be honest. But anyways, the Holy Spirit said that there were four rivers. There was the Bashan, there is the Gihon, there is the Hindakol, and there's the Euphrates. And I said to the Holy Spirit, typical Marie, I have no passion.
What was the third one?
The third one is spelled H-I-D-D, oh no, H-I-D-O-K-O-L. Looks like that. And I said, Lord, I know that. And he goes, you know nothing. And so I wrote down when he talked about the Pison, it's spelled P-I-S-O-N, we'd never know it was Pison. But it talked about provision. In that river, there is provision. And it speaks of meeting the physical needs of people. Lord said, do you know that? No, I didn't. Then he said the Gihon River, which is over the Middle East too. This is all part of the rivers that are coming out of Eden. The Gihon is bursting. It means you're supposed to be bursting forth. When you're in his presence, you get in that river, you burst. It's like you can't contain it. In fact, what was kind of cute was when Kurt turned over and he goes, it's heavy up here. When the anointing falls on you, it is heavy. It's a weight. So when we sang the very last song, the weight of his glory, truthfully, you can't stand in his glory. you will either be sitting there, or his presence will be so powerful that you fall down, or miracles will just take place because of what? Because of the glory. And those are, the Gihon River is noted as a river of intercession. It means intercession. It means that I don't see it anymore. Like, we have a prayer time, and we pray, and the Lord gives us things about the nation, but he's encouraging us that when we truly get in that river of intercession, he wants us to be travailing. And I remember in the good old days, in the church that I belong to, there were women that really cried out to the Lord. It was that they were so moved by the Holy Spirit, not emotion, but by the Holy Spirit, that they would cry out, they would intercede. And for, I don't even know, to be honest with you, but for the 29, 30 years that we were there, we had women, and it wasn't just women, I'm sure that there were men in there. And in fact, you've heard me mention my friend Edna before. When service went on, there were groups of people travailing in the Spirit while the service went on. I don't see that anymore. And the Lord brought that to my attention, that if he decides to grow this church, that we need to have people that will be in intercession at all time when the services go on. That's getting in the river of Gihon. So I'm thinking I'm finished, but the Lord said no. I told you there were four, which I knew, but that hit a call, something like, sorry, it's the only way I can explain it and say it. It was rapid. It was spiritual warfare. If I could say anything about Hilltop Tabernacle, the Lord has prepared this church with strategies, tools that can be used for spiritual warfare. And one of the strong points that I feel that the Holy Spirit showed me was prayer. How powerful prayer is. That is that river. And then the Lord said, the Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates is actually drying up. And if you know the book of Revelation, no S on it, it's telling you that the Euphrates River will totally dry up. The armies will come across. And people say that the Euphrates is drying up. Now, in your my time, as I'm standing behind this pulpit. But the Euphrates deals with worship, commitment to God that produces fruit. Now, I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to people that are sitting in the service right now. But what the Lord is saying is you need to get in that river. You need to be worshiping the King. You need to be spending time in his presence. You need to get yourself filled up so that you can go out. It is very, very important that you don't go like in yourself. If you come up and you come against demonic spirits, devils, warlocks, whatever you want to call them, the Word of God says that they have to bow down to the name of Jesus. So when you mention the name of Jesus, or things come at you that you don't know what to do with it, the Word says worship him. Worship him. The Lord doesn't care if you're really on key. I do, but the Lord doesn't care if, you know, how you worship him. He wants you to really get before him and thank him for all that he has done for you. And there's commitment. Vicki's been with us from day one. Karen's been here quite some time. You see, commitment is actually being a part of something that the Lord is doing and being committed, being obedient to it, because there's a covering with that. There's a protection over that. I'm not saying that you cannot go to another church and be blessed, but are they really interceding for you? Are they really lifting you up? It is very, very important right now that you're in that river of commitment.
You know, I just feel like what we're supposed to do.
What?
To grow this church.
Go around this church?
Yep, seven times.
Seven times.
And grow it so far.
Okay, then we will do that. You know, it was really amazing.
We need to break down whatever's holding.
Yes.
To come here and let the God's presence be known, for these people to say, there's something different about that. We need to go.
Amen. I agree with you. And the last thing that he said to me is, I'm writing this down as we're going down, it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And it said, the Garden of Eden, this is in Genesis, I think 2:10, it says, those four rivers were available. And it said, these rivers have hidden expressions of prayer for each person that is here or listening, and to press in. I think that was so powerful, and I thought, well, maybe I really didn't finish with the river as much as I thought I did. So I wanted to give you that. Pison deals with provision. I'm going to talk about that. The Gihon is bursting forth like intercession, is birth pains. The Hiddekel is rapid warfare, knowing spiritual warfare. And then the Euphrates is commitment to produce fruit. Oh, that's pretty powerful. And if you know anything, I won't go into that. So I thought, well, gosh, Lord, that's exciting. And then the Lord said this to me. Lord, not a piece of paper. The Lord allowed me to talk to you about the eagles, the hawks, and all of a sudden on YouTube, Tim Sheets was talking about eagles and hawks, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is what he said. There is an ushering of the sound to go. This isn't the time to plant seeds. This is the time for the harvest. This is the sound of joy and celebration. Not just for Hilltop, not for just the churches around here, not just for your own family life, but for our nation. He said, you have to ignite your faith. You have to ask for the fire to refall upon you. And anyways, I just kind of want to say this. Do you remember, I'm trying to look for my notes here. Do you remember when I said that the eagle was the king of the sky? And the Lord showed us that he was the head of everything, that he was the king eagle. But we are to be eagles. We are to have an eagle's eye. We're supposed to see what's going on all the time. He also said to us that he was the one who made us brave, because truthfully, most of us are cowards. Most of us just think that, you know, we got it all together. But without the Lord, we'd never make it. None of us. He also said that we needed to pursue our vision and our goal, and to take courage. And I thought, well, that's really great. So anyways, the Lord downloaded this to me. He said, I am releasing my royal eagle, that is you. You are part of the royal eagle army. my warring ones. I will give you everything that you need and every provision that you need if you walk in my glory. He said, taste and see. What do you got to lose? I'm God. He said, I want you to see in a deeper dimension, to go deeper. He said, I will nourish you with honey in the rock. And we sang that, Denny, the whole time you were gone, because you said you liked the song. So I said to the Holy Spirit, wow, you've got a sense of humor. You will be fed and nourished because of the honey in the rock.
We got to sing while he's here.
Yeah. And a new anointing will fall upon you, a new oil. I will give you fresh insight, and you will shine brightly, and you will lead many into righteousness. Dutch Sheet said, command the forward. Command the forward. Our sovereign God is released. He alone, our God, reigns. Command truth. Command the fires of revival. Command passion and presence. And bow to no ungodly government, that she said. Satan cannot steal the seed of his word. If there are unbiblical foundations, get rid of it. Get in the word. Anything said to you is in the word. There's coming a shaking, a great shaking. And it said, he will be merciful to us, and he will restore to us what he has purposed for us from the very beginning. I thought that was so powerful, I could barely write it. He said, command the angel of provision to roll in finances for all the needs you have here at Hilltop. He said, for all needs is what Dutch Sheet said. It's standing together in agreement. It's asking the Lord to release the heavenly hosts. And we can't do it without angelic assistance. I wrote down here, release your victory. I don't know about you, that was powerful to me. Yeah. And here's Denny saying the same thing that I am for Dutch Sheets, command forward. I thought that was powerful. I want to talk about the Goshen anointing. It's a very specific type of anointing. I'm going to give you the scriptural references ahead of time. I like to do that. Proverbs 20:27. Genesis 45:5. And also Genesis 45, looking at verses 7 and 8. God wants to anoint us to give us certain privileges. This anointing, this Goshen anointing that I mentioned that the Lord said I didn't explain, is an anointing that will preserve you and everything that belongs to you. Did you hear that? It'll preserve you and everything that belongs to you. Absolutely. Many times you have heard us speak on seasons and times. But you have to remember that seasons come and go. They are still sent by God, but they come and go. But what God is doing in this Goshen anointing is he wants to shape you and get you ready and get you in alignment as the Eagle Army when that glory falls. Now, we've just seen little touches of it. For me personally, I've seen his glory many times manifest. I've seen arms grow, people healed, people that will maybe fill this church, you know, the Holy Spirit just coming in and everybody falling under the Holy Spirit. And many people have never witnessed that. And many people will. And it will be everything to give glory and honor to him and not to man. You will need this Goshen anointing, and you need to get it now, in order to be preserved during this time. Every prophet, apostle, anybody that Joe and I have tuned into that we respect and pray for, have all said that he will take care of those that are his, that are born again. Amen. This anointing is available for every believer, and it will keep you safe in every circumstance. Even when everything around you is falling apart, this anointing will cause you not to be touched by anything, nor anything that belongs to you. I've had many things attack me in different ways, but I can say, I am a daughter of the King, and you are on dangerous grounds when you come against me. Because I know who I am. He can take me home tomorrow. And I'm accountable in helping you understand these things. This Goshen anointing, I'm going to read the scripture in Genesis 45:5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God set me before you to preserve life. This is showing Joseph. And he's already in Egypt. And he was literally sold by his brothers into slavery. And many years afterwards, God divinely stepped in. And really, he saved his family and really the nation. It's powerful to understand that. Joseph is finally reunited with his brothers. Most of us know the story about that. But the way he responded to his brother is something worth noting. He tells them not to be angry at themselves because they sold him. And it was God that set him before them to preserve his life. Don't you wish we could all have that attitude? That when you get persecuted in so many ways, you can say, be blessed. What does it mean to preserve life? It means to replenish life, to revive, to bring back to life. Preserving life also speaks of substance. If you really study just the term preserve life, it is unbelievable in the Strong's. Remember, Denny and I taught you about the Strong's. It can help you look at words and where they are in references and the word. Are you with me? There's other ones, but this one used a lot. When you study this phrase in ancient Egypt, it can be referred to stomach. It means that when the stomach is empty, you are famished and weak. But when you fill it, all of a sudden you're revived. This organ is seen as life. And an empty stomach is like thinking of death. But a revived stomach is life. That's about as simple as I can think to explain it. This holds great spiritual significance on the preparation that is necessary for you and me to enter at the Goshen level of anointing. When we spiritually think of the stomach, it says that when our stomach is full of the word, that living water comes forth. This might sound kind of strange to a person who doesn't sing, but when you're a singer, we don't sing from our throat. Sounds weird, maybe. Yeah. We have our voice box, yes, but we don't sing from our throat. We sing from our stomach. And if you have a teacher who is a music teacher, not someone's pretending to be a music teacher, they will tell you how to use your stomach muscles. Okay? Let's see if I can show you something. For example, I can go, okay, that's from my voice. But if it comes from down here, it's la, la, la. And so many music teachers in training, what they will do is they literally punch your stomach until you can use your stomach muscles. Interesting, huh? So in what the Lord is trying to say is this. The spirit man is the candle of the Lord. But the life of him should be in our belly. We can do so much when he's a part of us, when we're birthing things. It does bring it out of you.
You didn't even expect it. Yeah, you
don't know that. It's true. In Proverbs 20:27, in the King James Version, not the new one, the King James Version, is that in this scripture you see that in the Goshen anointing, the health of your spirit man will be preserved. This will affect every aspect of your life, both spiritually and naturally. But there's a process for this to take place, and it deals with the condition of your heart. I love that. He knows our hearts. He knows every one of us sitting here today. In verse 27, it says, and I quote it, "The spirit of a man is the lamp unto the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." In order to step into the Goshen anointing, you will need to deal with your heart. One of the things, I used to laugh at my grandma, and it's not funny now, but I used to laugh at her. She'd say, "You know, Lord, if I haven't forgiven someone today, or I ask for forgiveness for myself, and I ask for forgiveness for that." Because my grandma always prayed that way, and I said, "Grandma, why are you saying that?" Or she'd say, or she would pray something like this. She would say, "Lord, I don't know about so-and-so, but I forgive them for not getting to know who you are." And I just kind of listened to the different things that Grandma would pray about, but Grandma was our rock. She'd pray for everybody. Joseph told his brothers not to get angry with themselves for what they had done. He first dealt with their hearts. Did you ever think your anger problem had to do with your heart? I always thought it was the mind. It's the heart. And when you're an angry person and you don't know how to deal with your emotions correctly, you need to ask the Lord for help. There, here's I really believe in verse 7, 7 through 8 of Genesis 45. I'll read 7. It says, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Verse 8. "So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to the Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So what is the Lord saying here? The Holy Spirit is trying to explain to us that anger can get in the way. But Joseph didn't let anger get in the way. He had a choice to make here. When we're in the land of Goshen, it should be a place of comfort and plenty. When we went down to Muskegon, I don't remember when that was.
April.
They had camels, and people could come up, and they were like toy camels. And people, they said the camels were coming in. I turned to Karen and said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life." She just kind of tapped me like, "Yeah, just wait a minute." We all came up, and even when I was here at the pulpit, I thought, "What, camels coming in? I don't want no camel. They stink." I really did not understand it. And Vicki said to me, "Don't you get it?" I know, I don't get it. Camels are coming in? But what I realized was that these camels carried all the provision that you needed, all the money you needed, all the food you needed, everything that you needed, so you called the camels in. But it took a process up here for me to really understand that. And the Holy Spirit even showed me in the Word where it talked about the camels. Interesting. So the land of Goshen, the Goshen anointing, is a land of preserving you for what you need. I also noticed here, I don't want to go ahead of my message, but one of the ways that we can get provision is praising the Lord, spending time and just praising Him. And I put down here Genesis 46, verse 28, it says, "Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came back to the land of Goshen." Now, what was happening was while Joseph was still alive and he summoned him to Egypt, I never knew this. In all the years I studied this, watched this, taught this, everything. And the Holy Spirit said, "Do you know how many years of famine there was?" Nope. 5 years of famine. And that's grace. And I also thought what was so amazing was, I don't know about you guys, but when I go to the grocery store, I was sharing that I went to Walmart in Traverse City. That might get bleeped out, but. And I was looking for some eggs. I could not believe in the whole place there were only 15 containers of eggs. I guess you call them cartons. 15 cartons of eggs. I said, "Joe Bowles, you mean 15 of this one?" No, there was a total of 15. And some people have said that, you know, eggs could be like $5, $6 a dozen, And some places were doing them for $1.89, $2 and something, whatever. And I don't know if you kind of noticed or not, but you don't get to just go get what you want to get anymore because it's not available. And sometimes I ask the Lord, what is that all about? And I really believe there is a scare from the enemy trying to pull in the one world government so that we would depend on the government for everything we had. And I'm going to say it right here from this pulpit. You need to ask the Lord what you need to be prepared about. I know that there are preppers and all that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I believe that I can call upon the Lord and He will take care of us. He has. I have that much faith. Do you? When things get tough and you can't get gas and you can't do all these things, do you know that you can call on the Lord? You are His son or His daughter, and He will help you. I believe that.
Yesterday,
oh, it's just unbelievable.
No, they said that West Africa is having a problem because that's where most of the cocoa comes from.
Yes.
Chocolate's supposed to go way.
Everything's kind of gone crazy. Well, I was in awe telling you this, that it was 5 years of famine. So God spoke to Joseph and he started getting the people, you know, I call them silos, and they got prepared. But the Lord still reached out to His family.
Yeah.
I think that's powerful. I don't know what that's all about, but it says, if they go to Egypt, then they will have all that is preserved for them. I believe when you come to the King, when you spend time in His presence, He will prepare you. And I love that. That's called a Joseph anointing. Everybody talks about Elijah anointing. But God made a way for Joseph to preserve his family. He will for you too. Having so Jacob, having spiritual perception, understood certain spiritual principles, and he sent Judah before them to point the way to Goshen. Truthfully, this makes absolutely no sense in the natural. But Israel's 12 children, he chose a very specific son to go before them and so to lead them into Goshen. And it was not Joseph. Joseph preserved his family. But who led his family into Goshen was Judah. And Judah was the head person that buried his brother and sold him.
Yep.
That's powerful. So what does Judah mean? The word Judah means praise. Praise is a secret weapon I've taught you from the time the Lord's allowed me to be in this pulpit. As for every believer, it is a weapon. And if used correctly, it will lead you into Goshen. Praise will lead you through the gates of heaven and take you right into the courts of God. Praise will bring circumstances into heaven where you don't need to fight. But you will be preserved by trusting in the Lord when the enemy comes to attack. Powerful teaching there. The enemy wants to put shame on you, make you feel guilty, bad about this and that. But I want you to know that the Word of God will stand. It will stand all the time. I wanted to, many people have said, you know, why are the prophets here? And in our prayer time, I always say we pray for the prophets. And I personally think that I have an apostolic mantle on me. And I feel that the Lord downloads visions and things like that and allows me to teach it to you. But the prophets, I mean the prophets, they are always in the throne room, and they have brought for 2 or 3 years now exact things that you are to be doing. And why would God send the prophets today? He sent them to get us prepared, to get us under the anointing, or under this Goshen anointing, to be preserved.
To wake up.
Wake up.
His covering.
Rise up and call it, go forward.
That's right.
That's why we have decrees, heavenly decrees, and you have to pray them into motion. In the midst of your trouble and your distress, God sent these prophets to help us. And the movement was the delivery of the word directly from the throne room. Many, many churches want no part of that. They don't want the prophets, they don't want the apostles. And that's because they're seeing into the future and what is going on. All throughout the scriptures, God is preserving those that belong to him. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And I really believe that there, in fact, a couple prophets that I know have been going to other nations because God has called them to go there. And even when I spoke from this pulpit about Robin Bullock going to Mount Sinai where they were trying to rewrite the Ten Commandments, God sent prophets there. God has sent prophets all over. Denny made a good comment. I don't know if you picked up on it or not. The anointing, the oil, preserving Benzie County needs to be done here. We need to move out of these walls. When you believe in the words of a true prophet, you believe and you trust the word of God. And you better know who you're listening to. Whenever you speak the word, you speak it to the best of your ability. And when the anointing comes on that word, wow, all kinds of things take place. I thought that that was so powerful when I wrote that, that in 2 Chronicles 20:20, Goshen is a place that you are called into. He wants to provide for you. You need to call it in. And these are three things that he placed on my heart to say to you. The very first way to he wants to preserve you is by safety. For 3 years, we have been battling the enemy. I can't even speak about it in detail, but we have been trusting the Lord beyond what you understand or what we can explain to you. And it's like there is still a peace that can come upon us because we're trusting in the Lord to deal with certain things beyond our control. So the Lord will provide safety. I told you that you have to keep your eyes on him, not on man, on him. What does he want you to do? Where does he want you to go? What has he been preparing you for while you've been here at Hilltop Tabernacle? What? I believe the enemy cannot touch you. I believe that you're safe when you're here because you can call out the name of the Lord. It said here that Goshen was affected by hail. But it couldn't touch him. The enemy can come at you, it ain't gonna touch you. It's tried, but it can't. If you have that much faith and you're in alignment with this word, it does not matter what is going on in the world around you. When you step into the Goshen, when you step into his secret place, when you step into his presence, when he provides for you. And the biggest part that I love is it can't take your life. That's powerful. I had one of these, I don't know, it was a pity party time, and I know Joe gets tired of hearing it, but you know, truthfully, I should be dead. But you see, I still am here because I still have something to do for the King. And when I get finished, I'll go home. And I'll know I'll be with him. So it brings a peace to me that I can trust in the Lord when everything, or even when you're alone and you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know how you're going to get out of a situation, you don't know anything or how you're going to do this. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, how am I supposed to pay this? How am I supposed to pay this bill? And all of a sudden, maybe $20 will come in or $100 will come in, I don't know, and the bill gets paid. That's only because I trust in him. It is trusting to a different level that he is going to make that provision. I had an incident happen like 5 or 6 days ago, something like that. I lost track of time, sorry. And my son asked me if I would bring a cherry pie out of Cherry Hut. And there was no room in the parking lot at the Cherry Hut here in Benzonia. So I pulled all the way around to the back, and a guy was backing, was coming around the circle, and he parked his car with his animals, and I backed into him. I didn't know I backed into him. I didn't feel it at all. I was just praising the Lord. I really did not know I hit him. He got out of his car, and he was running beside my car, and I thought, oh my gosh, another weirdo trying to attack me. Really, Lord? In a parking lot? And so I didn't do anything. I kept on going. And I got to the front part of the parking lot, and the guy is just waving me down. And he said, stop, just stop. So I stopped my car, rolled down my window about this much. He says, you hit my car. I said, oh no, I didn't. He said, oh yes, you did. So I kept my car running, opened the door, and got out. And I had hit that guy's car. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know I hit your car, I'm so sorry, I just didn't know. And I was really kind of in shock, this was just like 6 days ago, I'm so sorry. All of a sudden, some guy came out of the Cherry Hut, and he's screaming, and he comes into the picture, and he goes, you did it, you're guilty, you hit him, and he's screaming at me, and I literally go in shock. This man's car that I hit, he put his arms around me and held me. He goes, everything's fine. And he held up his hand like this, like to back off. This guy was like an enemy, whatever, coming out of this restaurant screaming like a lunatic. And so the guy let me go, you know, the guy that was holding me, and I just said, I just never knew. I was just praising the Lord. And so we exchanged our insurance cards and did all that stuff. And I said, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. He goes, I don't either. I says, well, we're doing real good then, aren't we? And we just laughed. It wasn't nothing funny. We just laughed. But I was so amazed at how this man treated me. And he was from Pennsylvania, not even here in Michigan. And so we exchanged our information, and then Joe and I went downstate, and I had a piece about it. But my point was, sometimes when the enemy comes at you, like that's how I thought of this man that came out of this restaurant. I mean, I think he could have ripped me apart or knocked me down or something. He was violent. He was just so violent, I don't have words for it. Screaming. And yet you see the provision that the Lord gave, the man that I hit. He put his arms around me and just said, everything's okay, you know, like, I just wrecked the back end of his car. And his animals were in the car. But I just can't explain how God took that, chaotic situation and brought a peace that I don't have words for. When you are in the Goshen anointing, when you are praising the Lord, when you are with him, and you belong to him, he will take care of you, even with everything that's flying around you that's living hell. There ain't no other way to put it. He will take care of you. And to my amazement, at first I wasn't going to tell Joe. But I got to the house, and we were packing up everything, and I said, Joe, something really happened that was really bad, and I got to tell you about it. I've never lied to Joe. We've never lied to each other. And I told him, expecting the worst, or Joe to get really angry, and he looked at me and he goes, everything will be all right. Do you kind of understand what I'm trying to say? God is a God that provides. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know as I'm standing here in this pulpit right now. But it was amazing how God had the situation under control. The second one the Lord told me was promotion. It says in Psalm 75:6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Promotion only comes from God. Come on. That's powerful to me. It means that God is taking care of you from one level to another. One level to another. From glory to glory. And so forth. And the third thing that I'll share with you is multiplication. Verse 27, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. So I don't know about you, but I heard the Holy Spirit say, hey, are you ready for the Goshen anointing? Are you ready to be preserved? Are you ready to be promoted? Are you? Do you want the Goshen anointing? Do you want to have provision? Then I'm going to say this and you can repeat it or not. Your choice. I will be preserved. My ministry will be preserved. My prayer life will be preserved. My spiritual life will be preserved. My finances will be preserved.
My finances will be preserved.
Oh, that seemed to be a little louder for you. Now, for us that are married, how about my marriage will be preserved? My relationship with others will be preserved. My relationship will be preserved. My health will be preserved. Isn't that good? That's the Goshen anointing being preserved. I wrote this down. I'm not for sure exactly when I did this, but I want you to understand. I know I showed a lot of things, but Goshen was a place that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt to Succoth during Exodus. It was a major location, and no plague could touch them. I know about you. I claim that when all this COVID garbage went around, that plague isn't going to affect me. And I am dismissing, in the name of Jesus, the next plague that's coming.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You have that much power and authority. He has given all of us, that power and authority in his name. And testing will come. I think if I could have anybody that could give a great testimony someday, it would be my friend Karen. I've never seen such testing in my life that she's been through. Never. And the Lord's taken her through it, giving her a new way of doing things and restoring things. And it was really God, because truthfully, if you look back, you go, God, I can't believe I went through that. I can't believe, oh my gosh, oh. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I do that a lot. And he wants us to keep on moving forward, not just looking at the past, but keep on moving forward for what he has. And this is what I put down here. Lord, I thank you for the prophets. I thank you for the seers. I thank you for the watchmen and the intercessors and even all the people here at Hilltop Tabernacle. Anoint them, Father. Give them a warning system because they are your children. Father, strengthen every person at Hilltop. Destroy the works of darkness and derail the enemy. Father, help every person that is here, every person online, to be able to discern the true prophetic voices who deal in authentic revelation and heavenly insight. When trials are going on, send them, God, from your heavenly throne room. Father, I ask right now that you give us a Joseph anointing that we may deal righteously. That we will have prophetic wisdom, visions. In the bathrooms, I still have signs up that talks about your destiny.
I
noticed
it today.
But I pray that you will abide in the spiritual Goshen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.